ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for downloading the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. So it's Tuesday, day of recording. So tomorrow, Wednesday, is the day we find out if Queensland gets the 2032 Olympics.
Yes.
Which I think that has been overshadowed a little bit by the Olympics about to begin in Tokyo. But that's big news, right?
I think it's exciting. I was living as a kid in New South Wales when Sydney got the Olympics. And the hype and the excitement that surrounded that is a memory that is so burnt into my being as a kid. And it's such a good memory. I'd love that for Queensland.
I feel like the Olympics change a city.
Oh, they do.
Forever. Like the whole building of Homebush in Sydney, like it changed that city forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Brisbane's just like, I don't know. I'm a Brisbane guy. If I had to pick my
favorite Australian city.
Yeah, totally. Because
capital city.
I don't know.
Favorite
Sydney,
Australian
Melbourne.
Capital city.
I don't know. You know what the people are like in Sydney and Melbourne. Brisbane people are cool. I don't know. I just think it'd really bring Queensland into a new era and Brisbane into a new era. So I hope it happens. But yeah, we'll find out in the morning, huh?
Like I think all signs are looking pretty positive.
I think so too. We find out about 6 p.m. Wednesday night, apparently, it's all going to come through. And we'll have another one of those moments like the winner is Sydney, which was very famous. So the winner may be Brisbane.
We'll find out tomorrow. What kind of mascots we get.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the mascots.
That'd be great.
Just a fat dude in stubbies and thongs. So Queensland.
We only let her talk about the wedding once per week.
What? Only once?
Yep. This is Gabby's weekly wedding update.
Only once, so I got to make it good. And today I want to talk about wedding dresses because you might remember about six months ago.
Never a debacle for brides at all,
no,
is it?
No, never.
It's never a But point of conversation.
About 6 months ago, I bought a dress online that was two sizes too small. And I've decided to stop hoping that that's going to be the one. So it's been cast aside.
Even at the time, didn't we take course?
Yeah, we were like, is this ever going to happen?
I think most people were like, oh, darling.
It was such a bargain.
Bad idea.
It was such a bargain. So I had no choice to buy it. That's how I was thinking at the time. Anyway, it's now less than a year till the wedding, and I was like, oh, I really need to start looking for a dress that fits because it can take a really long time for it to be made and then fitted properly and all that shenanigans. So I went to a couple of wedding dress shops with my mum last week to try on a few while she was visiting me because I wanted to take her along. I wanted mum's opinion. And
that'd be very special thing for your mum too. That's
yeah.
Nice.
It was
Maureen
like
would love that.
10 a.m. and they offered her a champagne and she declined.
Rome.
And I was like, what are you doing here then?
Maureen.
Why are we here? But I tried on about 6 or 7 wedding dresses and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, there were some beautiful dresses. They were made and looked gorgeous. Some of them suited me really well, and I know that they looked really nice on, but I wasn't feeling it. I didn't get that vibe from any of them.
You want to have that Marie Kondo moment. You want the dress you're wearing to spark joy.
Exactly.
Like you want there to be an instant reaction when you put it on.
Totally.
Like, I would assume.
Yeah, like you look.
You
and,
are talking to a man who has never worn a
wedding
dress. And
you just start crying or something. I don't know. And that's what I wanted to ask today because I'm a bit lost on this because I'm not really sure what I should feel when I know that it's the right dress. Like what, how do you know? So 131060, I want to ask the question, how did you know your wedding dress was the one? Like when you put it on and like what did you feel? What did you see? What did other people say or how did they react for you to know that that was the gown?
Hey, like on the other side of the coin, 131060, like either way, maybe you had that ping, like that moment, the joy that we're talking about, the moment. But maybe it's a myth. Like, I don't know. You don't know. You haven't had the moment yet.
Yeah.
I have not been a bride in the past.
Weird.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe you've built this thing up in your head so much.
And I'm waiting for it to happen and it's not ever going to happen.
Is there a bride listening right now that's going, this is totally
that's not
a thing.
Yeah. 131060.
Like the G-spot.
What? That is a thing. Oh, my God, your poor wife. 131060. How did you know your wedding dress was the one? Or, yeah, as Cliffo said, is that just a myth that there is a feeling when that happens?
I just put that out there because I would hate nothing more than, you
I'm know, waiting for it, I'm yeah, waiting for it, I'm waiting
you,
for it.
Yeah, going to shop after happens. Shop after shop, like experiencing disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, waiting to experience this thing that's not actually
it's not
a thing.
Come.
Yeah. 13, 10, 60, Courtney's here. Morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Courtney. Have you had that moment where you knew the wedding dress was the one?
I'm hoping to have the moment again. I've just ordered my second dress and I'm probably 3 to 4 weeks out of my wedding.
Oh, yeah. Is it going to get here
I'm
on time?
I'm in a bit more of a pickle than you.
Yeah, wow. Way more of a pickle. How do you know? Are you worried? Like, what if you don't have that moment? What if it doesn't fit? Like, what if there's something wrong with it? Oh my God, I'm stressed for you.
I'm really worried because the dress I picked last year, because I was supposed to get married last year, but we put it off for coronavirus to this year. And I loved the dress last year, and then I put it on over the weekend, got my friend over, and I just wasn't feeling it.
It's not the one anymore.
It's not the one anymore.
So yeah. How have you ordered it? Like, is it an online order?
It was. I did the same thing as Gabby. Great bargain. This is really good. I've got this amazing, you know, expensive dress, and I've done it again. I've bought another bargain.
Okay. Well, I've got all my fingers crossed for you, Courtney. I hope it's the one. I really do.
It'll hopefully be here by the end of the week, so I'm hoping when I put it on, it'll be that same amazing feeling.
Courtney, hold there. Producer Brooke, can you get Courtney's details? We've got to get you on in like a week or so.
Once you get the dress at the end of the week, we want to know how it
works. I want to know how it works out for you, okay?
I'm hoping I have positive news for you.
Yeah,
I hope so too.
I'm like, Gabby, I'm stressed for you, Courtney. What are you doing, mate? Natalie's here. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Natalie. Have you had that moment where you knew the wedding dress was the one?
I did, yes.
Oh, what did it feel like?
Your cheeks just go completely red. You're bawling your eyes out. Your friend's bawling your eyes out. Your mum's bawling your eyes out. So that's how you know you got the dress.
All right. If I'm a weeping mess, I know it's the one.
Didn't have that moment.
I have definitely not had that yet. But hey, there's still time.
Her mum did, but it's because of the free champagnes she was offered.
I won't
she got to
mascara.
The cry stage. Oh, Natalie, I'm so happy for you that you did have that moment. It's sweet. Deb's here. Hey, Deb.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Deb.
Congratulations, Gabby.
Thanks.
And everybody, all the brides.
All the brides. Did you have that moment, Deb, where you knew the wedding dress was the one?
I'm one of the weirdest ones. I think I tried on close to 100.
Wow.
Because I did it on my own, unfortunately. I didn't have anyone. And I was only in my late 20s. But I got mine from a pre-loved wedding dress shop.
Nice.
And on the Gold Coast at Burleigh. And as soon as I put it on, I don't know. I felt it.
Isn't that amazing? And you tried on 100 dresses before that one.
Close to 100, yeah, brand new, all the way through the Gold Coast. Everywhere over the Gold Coast I looked. Even Marketplace, you name it back then, like everything. Anywhere I could find, like in, you know, the paper, anywhere.
Oh, good on you.
I just didn't have it. I didn't care that somebody else wore it or what happened.
Gabby, I don't care about that either.
You've still got about 90 to go.
All right. No, but I love that Deb's given me hope. It doesn't matter how many you try on. Just keep going till you get that feeling.
It's
going
to be a lot of champagnes. If you need a mate to go on the crawl with you, the wedding dress crawl.
It's a pub crawl for bridal dresses.
I'm in, mate. I'm in.
We are embarking on quite a mission at the moment. We found out New Zealand stole the Guinness World Record for the biggest lamington, and we want to bring it back to its birthplace in Queensland. And I don't know, we don't know how to make a lamington. So yeah. We've actually had someone who's heard our cries.
I feel like we threw this out there. Yeah. I threw it out there.
You did.
Thank you for backing me up.
Yes, you're welcome.
And then had this kind of, I've bitten off more than I can chew.
How do we actually do this?
How do we do this kind of moment?
But Lynn from the CWA has actually heard our cries for help, and she's here to help us. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to try and help you.
Well, we need all the help we can get, and you are the person to help us because you have quite the history of baking lamingtons, Lynn. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it was a family recipe that my mother-in-law gave me when we got married 53 years ago, and I was to never share it.
Oh,
and
what
you did
you
do? What did you do, Lynn?
Oh, I shared it. I entered a competition that the White Pages and Yellow Pages put out to the CWAs across Australia. And I put in the Lamington recipe because I've made it all my married life and it's been a real crowd pleaser. And I won that competition for our area. So they took the photo to put on the cover.
Wow.
And they printed the recipe.
So they printed the recipe in the phone book.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the opposite of what you told your mother-in-law you would do.
Well, I never even gave that a thought. I'd forgotten that she'd told.
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Lynn, what makes your Lamingtons so much better than the others? Like, what is your secret herb and spice that makes it so amazing?
She's not KFC.
Well, I don't use sponge cake to start with.
What? Whoa, wow.
I use a Madeira cake.
Oh, yeah, good.
Lovely, I love it.
A bit more dense.
Yeah, beautiful.
Makes it more moist, can I
moist.
Say.
Yeah.
Well, there's that word. Good for use when it comes to cakes.
You know it.
Now, look, we've been told that you would be happy to actually have the CWA teach us a thing or two. Is this something that the CWA would be happy to do?
Oh, yes. We'd like to invite you along and have a Lamington making lesson.
All right.
I think this is a no-brainer for
us. Well, yeah, we need to start at the basics, and that is making a normal-sized Lamington before we try to supersize it to make the biggest Lamington.
Smart. I reckon Ronald McDonald made a Mac before he made the Big Mac.
Big Mac, exactly.
You've got to start somewhere,
start
guys.
Small. And then, Lynn, once we've made the normal-sized one, maybe you guys can tell us how we can blow that up. Any tips on making it 3,000 kilos?
Oh, yes. That's going to be a job and a half.
There's going to be
a
bit of whisking involved. All right, well, we are on a journey to get the record back home to Queensland, where it belongs. And Lynn, a proud CWA member whose Lamingtons are so divine that it actually got her face on the front of the Yellow Pages, they were some amazing tips this morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you guys at the CWA soon. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and we wish you all the luck in the world. It would be great to bring that record back to Australia.
It would. We're going to need the luck, Lynn. We're going to need the luck.
I've told you before, Cliffo, that I make Nev hide bad food in our house. So he's a tradie, which means he can pretty much eat what he wants and still stay nice and trim and muscly because he's working it off every day. I'm not. And no, I cannot.
Our job is the opposite of that.
It's I quite sit a lot.
A sedentary
don't do a
job.
Lot of work
There's out. A lot of coffee.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cake around this office as well.
Oh, so much bad food. There was hot pies the other day at our meeting. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy. But I am being pretty strict with myself at the moment. I'm doing like a gut cleanse as of cleanse. Gut yeah, cleanse gut. As of
I
next
wasn't
week.
Let gut cleanse.
Cleanse. Oh, God.
No,
see, my brain's not functioning.
Go past the keeper, mate.
I've got stuff out.
Got to get some sugar into you, mate.
I'm getting...
Get some jelly beans in here.
I'm getting prepared for the gut cleanse, and I'm being really strict on gluten, dairy, and sugar because I'm very much intolerant to gluten and dairy. And for the last wee while, I've been just throwing that to the wind and then complaining that I'm in pain. So I've decided to be strict on that. And I said to Nev, fiancé Nev, I was like, look, if you're going to have bad food, you can't have it around me. I can't have the temptation. You need to hide it in the house and I don't know it's there, or you need to take it to work with you and leave it there so I don't even know it exists. They're the rules. And he's been abiding by them. I haven't seen any junk food for the last couple of weeks, and I just assumed he was on this cleanse with me and really supporting me, which has been really lovely. I thought he was on Team Gabby.
I don't know if
Gabby.
I'm more surprised that you thought he was on the cleanse or that he did as he was told.
I know, right? Both are pretty hectic. But last night it all came tumbling down because I'd been in the shower, I'd been washing my hair, so I took a little bit of time. And when I came out, I went to give him a kiss goodnight because I was taking my butt to bed. And when I kissed him, I was like,
Oh, you've got the taste.
I was like, you've got mint slices. And he's like,
God, and you even narrowed it down to like, that's not a mint patty.
It's a mint slice.
That's a mint slice. That's not an after dinner mint. That is a mint slice.
It was a mint. And I'm like, how long have you had those in the house? And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't have anything in the house. And so now it's all I can think about. And you know exactly what I'm going to be doing when I get home today. The house is going to be torn apart.
Everyone heard of a metal detector before? Gabby is a mint slice detector.
I'll find him.
There's a beep, 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 beep. Had him on For Memory Monday yesterday, and we actually floated by him the fan theory, and this is not in the movie, this is not anything actually associated with Home Alone or the makers of Home Alone, but since Home Alone has been out and done its thing for the last 20, 30 years, fans have come out with this theory that Uncle Frank, the jerk uncle in Home Alone, was actually the mastermind of the whole scheme. So he contracted, essentially, Harry and Marv to break into his own brother's house.
Because he's jealous.
Because Kevin's dad is actually Uncle Frank's younger brother. He's obviously a lot more rich and successful than Uncle Frank
is. And he wants some of it for himself.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he put that theory by Jerry Bamham, who played Uncle Frank yesterday. This is what he said.
I think it's amusing that it's taken 30 years to come up with these theories. But I'd like...
So it makes you the full-on bad guy in this, which I love. Yeah.
You become the Tony Soprano.
I like it.
So he said a whole lot more on that. So get that at the Cliff on Gabby podcast if you missed the chat yesterday. But since that went to air, I've actually been doing my research and I found some other popular fan theories from some of your favourite movies.
I love fan theories because people are just so invested that they want to improve on the storyline. It's the best.
First one, I think we've actually mentioned this on the show before, but the first one's from Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the fan theory goes that Sandy actually died at the beginning of Greece and the rest of the movie is a dream.
She's drowned at the beach.
The evidence, the line, like you say, I saved her life when she nearly drowned. Now, the fan theory goes that she did drown. And the whole movie is an elaborate musical fantasy due to the lack of oxygen getting to her brain. And the flying red convertible at the end of the film is Sandy being whisked away to heaven. Good theory.
Dark theory. Very dark.
They get darker.
Okay.
Number two, Toy Story.
Mm.
Andy's parents are divorcing is the fan theory.
Okay.
Now, the evidence is as follows. You never see Andy's dad in Toy Story. They are moving to a smaller house.
Oh.
The mum's wedding ring is off in the shot where she picks up the buzz box. You know, Buzz is on the top of it. Andy is introverted and emotionally attached to inanimate objects, the toys, and they get a puppy, which is surprisingly common in divorces. So that is the
interesting
Toy Story fan theory.
That is, it's believable.
Last one I've got for you. Jack in Titanic is from the future.
Pardon?
Jack is actually a time traveler, go with me, who came back in time to save Rose from jumping from the ship. So remember that scene where she's up and she's about to jump off the back of the Titanic? So that's the theory. Jack came back from the future to stop that.
Okay.
If you think about it, Rose jumping would have caused a delay in the ship's course because they would have had to circle back and they would have gone off course, potentially keeping the Titanic from hitting the iceberg and sinking, altering the course of history. Now, if you've watched any time traveler movie ever, you'd know that altering the course of history has damaging and wide-ranging effects. So that's it. Jack is essentially it. You know what it is?
That's ridiculous.
He's Marty McFly.
He's back to the future.
He's back from the future,
Let's go. I am obsessed with Beauty and the Geek. And I'm pretty sure fiancé Nev is also just as obsessed because every time I put it on, he's like, oh no, why are you watching that? And then sits down.
Sits behind you at the dinner. You're on the couch. He's behind you on the dinner table.
Definitely.
And his eyes are like looking to the side at the TV. Mate, it's gorgeous.
It's a cute as show.
Let's be honest, at its core, it's a pretty dumb concept. But the way they've put it together this year, it's fun.
It's nice.
And it's cute.
I'd love to see him flip it on its head, hey, to have girl geeks and guy beauties.
Girl geeks are just sexy, mate. That's just sexy women with glasses on.
Something that did happen last night on the show, which just had me with all the warm and fuzzies, was James. He's the really tall geek. He likes to cosplay. He admitted in the show that he has never had his first kiss. But that all changed when he went on a date with Jess.
That's what I ask.
Yeah.
Yes, I truly like you. And if it is the last date we have sitting together.
Yeah.
Can I kiss you?
Can you? Yes. I got first kiss.
Meaty. Wow. I could hear the tongue in action there,
It, like, adorable in that it was his first kiss. Awkward that it was on national TV. And we all know that first kisses are not amazing.
It's funny because movies like, I don't know, this came to my mind, like My Girl and all that back in the day, they glamorize your first kiss when, in fact, there's nothing romantic, sexy, or even nice.
No.
About, I would say, nearly everyone's first kiss. If you get to stand in front of me and go, oh, my first kiss was awesome, I was great, I'd be like, get out of here.
You're delusional.
Right?
My first kiss was pretty crazy. I remember telling my best friend that it felt like there was a slug in my mouth afterwards. But not just that, he cut my lip with his braces as well. So it was an all-round winner. When it came to
how
my
old
first.
Were you? Young teen.
I reckon mid-teens? I was 16.
Yeah.
And I did it like a lot of guys on their first kiss. They just go, I just got to stick the tongue all the way in and just swirl 100%. It around as fast as I can.
100%. That's not how, just guys, but girls
your French
as well.
Kiss.
Because your first tongue kiss is exactly that. It's your first
figuring it
kiss
out.
With a tongue.
Yeah.
And you think you got to get it all the way in there, so you just. I can't remember. I vividly remember my first tongue kiss going, I've got to push my tongue all the way out. And I just, like, it's like I inserted my tongue into her throat.
And then you washing machine it.
And then get it around there. It's
1360. How bad was your first kiss? That's what we want to talk
give
about.
Give us the juicy details of your first kiss. Because I reckon everyone likes to listen to a first kiss story.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, like I say, I don't think there's many people out there. Hey, maybe you are one of them, but I don't think there's many people who would put their hand up and go, my first kiss was amazing and it was perfect and it couldn't have been any better. Because it's never like they make it on these reality shows, because even that grab you played there, you know, there's silence, then there's the kiss and the beautiful romantic music.
No, it doesn't happen. And kissing is one of those things that you get better the more you practice. So first time is never going to be the best kiss you're ever going to have.
Practice makes perfect.
How bad was your first kiss? Give us a call. We'd love to hear all about it. Extra time in your
kiss. Come on, own up to it.
How much saliva was involved?
Or throw the person you were kissing under the bus as well. How bad was your first kiss? 13 1060 to the phones. Carolyn, Tim. Morning, Carolyn.
Hello, how you going?
Good. What was your first kiss and was it terrible?
It was so embarrassing. It was all set up by my friends and it was behind the library at high school.
Yeah. Hold on. I just want to start you there. It was all set up by my friend. So there was nothing natural about this kiss.
Right.
No, it was so awkward and so embarrassing. And I didn't know how to kiss and he was a good kisser and I just, it was so bad.
Was everyone there watching?
There was.
What did you do, Carolyn? Like, was it a tongue kiss or did you just peck and then freak out?
No,
or?
He had tongue, but I had very little liquid in my mouth at all.
Oh.
I'm so embarrassed, but I'm telling everybody now, but yeah, it was really bad.
Have you improved since?
Oh, yeah, way better.
Well, you know, the whole, like, the no pressure, like not kissing in front of an audience
that helps.
These days must be nice.
It makes a huge difference.
The Olympics do start this Friday, which is really exciting stuff. Like, I do love watching the Olympics because it's just, like, the best of the best performing in things that I could never achieve. So it's nice.
You sit back to it's the same as like Ninja Warrior. You sit back on your couch and you judge so harshly. Yeah. Like,
you're like, I could have jumped further.
They don't make a high jump higher than two of your houses on top of each other. You're like,
nah, go higher.
What are you doing, mate?
I know. But with so much talk about athletes and Olympians and athletics in general, I was really surprised this morning to find two separate articles talking about Olympic athletes' attire and making comments on whether or not it was appropriate or not. So I'm just like, this was not happening in Australia, and every country has different rules, but this still kind of caught me off guard. So a Paralympian in the UK was competing in the English Championships, the World Championships. She's a two-time Paralympian world champion. And she was doing long jump, I believe. So she's in an athletics event. And she did her event. And she then tweeted about it afterwards, saying she felt amazing. She felt like she'd done a really good job, but then she was really disappointed because just as she finished her long jump competition, one of the female officials felt it necessary to inform her that her sprint briefs were too short and inappropriate. So it really put a dampener on the fact that she just felt like she did a really great job. And let's just put it out there, you know, these athletes wear what they feel they need to wear to do their best job. That's the only thing. The uniform is...
The only stipulation has to be if it gives them a competitive advantage. And this would not give this woman a competitive advantage.
Like, no.
We can understand with the swimming suits and stuff, there has to be limitations. This is a completely separate thing that's going on.
This is just the look of it. It had nothing to do with her performance. It was the look of it. And then we go to the other end of the spectrum where Norway's beach handball team or beach volleyball team have refused to wear bikini bottoms in their competition because they felt like the bikini bottoms, because, you know, beach volleyball, like they wear practically nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The team thought that the bikini bottoms were a little too revealing. And so they've opted to wear little shorts, just tiny little bike shorts and a little crop top, because that's what they were comfortable wearing. And they could now be fined. €50 each. This is a European World Championship as well. €50 each player for wearing the wrong bottoms, because the rule there is the bottoms cannot cover more than 10 centimetres of their bum. What? Like, how are we in 2021 and this is still a thing?
Sad thing is, and it is sad, but it's not surprising. Like, it's two female sports.
Right.
Yep. That are being targeted here.
Like, the men are like, oh, wear shorts, and everyone's like, cool.
Men's sports, like, you're not hearing Usain Bolt being, you know, I know he's not competing anymore.
Your shorts are too tight.
Your shorts are too long. Your shorts are too short. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, we need to move on from this. Like, athletes, professional athletes do this for a living. They wear what they need to wear so that they can compete at the best of their ability and win in these amazing feats that they win. And we need to watch how and what they do and not what they're wearing.
And I guess,
it's
too, we need
insane.
The spotlight to be on these amazing people and their amazing achievements
athletics.
And what they're doing.
Right.
Rather than, you know, the fact that
they're wearing shorts or their undies are too little.
Too long.
Yeah.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast. Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.